Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Blue Aircraft, Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Point is powerful. This is a no-win situation. Give me a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Good morning, Charisse. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. It's Friday. We have a good guest. She's calling from where, Ellen? Australia?
She's calling from Perth, Western Australia. Yes.
Okay, I'm hoping that we could connect because Blog Talk. We're okay with the UK.
I just got a message from her, and she said that she's unable to make contact.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it took me three or four times to call in.
Wow.
Ask her what her phone number is. We have never tried to make an international call. What is her phone number? I have a plus 618, so I don't know how to call her from.
Yeah.
From
yeah, I can ask her. Hold on.
Yeah. We have never tried. Let me look at Blog Talk to see if we can make international calls. We have never tried it. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. As you can tell, we have technical difficulties. Our guests cannot connect to Blog Talk right now, but we're not going to let that stop us. We are global. We're heard around the world. The world hears us. If you'd like to come in the studio, this is Friday. You want to talk about anything you want to talk about? Something that's happened to you? You're afraid of the coronavirus? Whatever is on your mind. The number is 319-527-6099.
319-527-6099. That is my job. You know that, right?
That's right. I thought you were busy trying to reach your... I don't know how to... I'm just curious. We have never called
I don't know how to... I don't know how to do the country code and the country number and then the number. And I don't know how to do all that. I've never made an international call.
I don't know what the... Let me see. What's the international? We have never done this before. The international code for what? Australia?
Perth, Western Australia. Perth, Australia, I guess.
How do you spell Australia?
A-U-S-T-R.
Yeah. Yes, I spelled it right. A-S-A-U-S-T-R-A-L-I-A.
Yep.
Well, there's... Which one is hers?
Hers is Perth.
Hers is Well,
hers
I have Central,
Western
West,
Australia.
North, East.
Hers is Western Australia.
Central and West, so it must be 08. Okay. Let's see. How do I call that? What do I do? 108? Or how does it work? Let me see what her number is.
Hold on. She's sending me her number right now.
All right.
And I think her number is on the job form. Hold on.
Yeah, but it has a plus... something, and I don't think I can put a plus in there. Let me check Blog Talk. Let me see. Let me see if there's something about them. Let me see. Where am I going? Where am I going on Blog Talk? Calling. See what they tell me.
Okay, this is I'm gonna put it in. I'm gonna put it in the studio because I'm on blog the job form right now.
Yeah. Okay, kiddo.
Okay, the first ones are the country. The second one is the country code. For I know one is. You're supposed to have the country code, the country, and then the number.
Are they all numbers?
Her number. Huh? Yeah.
Are they all
and
numbers?
Yeah.
There's no
all
plus
numbers.
Or minus. Or, okay.
She has a plus before her the first set of numbers that I sent you.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know if that's going to work. I saw that. Let's try it the way she wrote it. If she has a plus, then an area code 618. Is that what you're sending me?
Yeah.
All right.
The
let me see if I can call
zero.
That.
Yeah.
The plus is a zero?
Yeah.
That's going to be fucked up. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. Okay, you have it right now. Give me some time to think. Meanwhile, Ellen, you have some business with PayPal. Somebody is waiting for you.
Yes.
She just contacted me.
Yes.
All right. Did you do it?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now because I got this message from her.
Okay.
Saying that she can't connect.
Well, that won't do, baby. Let me see if I can do this. Let me see if it works. Let's hear what we hear. Let me see. Here. Blog Talk kicked my ass. Let me see. I'm going to make a call here. I'm going to put it here. And here. Okay.
Okay. I sent you her number. I put her number in the studio.
This doesn't look right, but okay. This, I don't think this is going to work because I don't think we have a plus. Let's see if it does.
Sorry, but your call cannot be completed.
I don't want to talk to you anyway. What, look at that guy. Wow. Cherise said that the plus is a zero. Let's put a zero on there. One last shot. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Either you. All right. Uh-oh. Ellen dropped. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Hello, Cherise. Let's see if we can figure this out. Okay, I'm going to try this. Ellen's gone.
Put in star, then zero.
It won't work.
It doesn't?
I'll put in star and zero. Okay. Ellen, do me a favor.
Ellen's
what
number.
Is her... I'm going to try to invite her. I'm going to try to invite her.
Okay.
Please separate. Let me see if I can get her email. I'll try that, Cherise, right after this. It sounds like a good idea. She didn't give me her email. Oh, here's her email. Let me see if I can invite her through email. Tell me if she gets it. And maybe she
okay.
gets right wave. Right wave, kiddo. Nothing stop us. Here we go. Let me send her an invite. Tell her I sent her an invite. See if that works.
Okay, I just told her.
Okay. Thank you, Ellie.
You're welcome.
Ellie, did you take care of that other business that we have to take care of?
I'm doing both things at the same time. I'm doing the other thing right now.
You are running a little slow this morning, aren't you?
Well, I wasn't expecting her to not be able to call in.
You're slipping in your old age. Move it, Granny.
Excuse me.
Move it. Look at that, Cherise. The kind of help that I get off the street.
What? You know what? You can bite me, okay? You can bite me.
Ooh.
I know. Look at that. You know. And I was just being nice when I picked her off the street in the rain and she was shivering with a piece of bread. Look at the attitude. All right.
One piece of bread?
I know. It's Friday, folks. Well, what happens is that chances are we had a good guest and you guys are going to miss a great... Wait a minute. Is that her? Ellen?
Hold on. Let me see. No, that's not her.
Oh, who is that? Ta-ta-ta?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, ta-ta-ta? Good morning.
Fine. Thanks. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's see here. We were going... There she is. Diane?
That's me,
oh, just
yes.
a minute. Yes. Diane, are you here?
Yes. Yes, I can, yes.
Wow. Did it work with the email for the special guest?
Yes, yes.
I am so great. God, I'm wonderful. Excuse me while I kiss myself. Let's get right to it because I don't want to lose you. Today, our special guest, she's in studio, ta-ta-ta, Cherise and Ellen. We got Diane Guntrip. She's in the studio, everybody.
Yes, she do. Yay. Yay, she made
Yay.
It.
Hello,
Mom. Yeah. Ellen gave up on you, but I didn't. I knew
I
that you
were. I did not give up
calls.
On her. I did not give up on her. Charisse, did I give up on her?
Wow, angry.
No, you did not. We've been trying to figure out this for you.
I am. I'm glad you're here. Ellen's a little cranky this morning, a little pissy.
Yes, I haven't had my coffee, and you're not helping, Hammer.
Well, today we're going to talk to Diane Guntrip. Thank you, Ellen. We're going to talk
you,
about
Hammer.
The book, Dear H and a Daisy and a Daisy Chain. Diane, tell me about your character. Tell me about your book. It's written through the eyes of a 12-year-old Amanda. So
That's
tell
right.
me about
yes.
Amanda.
Mm-hmm. Amanda is 12 years old. She comes from a very well-to-do family, lives in a very large house, attends a posh, prestigious private college, but she is extremely lonely. She has no friends. She has lost the relationship that she had with her parents when she was a little girl, and she's being bullied intensely by a gang with a leader called Cassandra. Amanda has a secret, and her secret is that she would love to be a singer. She has said it's a secret, so she has not shared that with anyone. And when things really get her down, she writes song lyrics in a journal that was gifted to her by her grandmother. She gets very depressed because she is overweight, and it's a vicious circle because she eats because she's depressed, she puts weight on, that makes the bullying worse, and she is being bullied by texts, by emails, by things that Cassandra and her gang call out across the street. At school, she spends most of her time in the library hiding away from all of this. The catalyst comes when the school is invited to a concert at another school, and she's sitting there, and onto the stage appears a girl in a wheelchair. Amanda thinks that all the cheering is due to the fact that the audience feels sorry for her, but in actual fact, when she hears Emma sing, she realizes that if Emma can sing and has this beautiful earthy voice, which is suited to jazz, then she could possibly do something similar. So we see her sitting in the audience, asking herself, you know, can I do it? Yes, I can. The other side says, no, you can't. Don't be so silly. And we have this conversation. But it starts this thinking that she possibly can do something to help herself. And it is not until her grandmother phones her from quite a distance away. In the book, I say she's a five-hour flight away. So imagine that Amanda lives in Perth and Grandma lives in Sydney, and says to Amanda, what would you like for your 13th birthday present? And she plucks up her courage and she says, singing lessons. And that is why when I talk to people, audiences, I don't go any further than that because I'm going to tell you how the story ends, and I don't really want to because it would spoil it for anybody who's going to read the story.
Well, I think this is a great story.
There are a lot of Amandas out there, many, many Amandas. How did you get the creative idea to write a book through the eyes of a 12-year-old?
Well, that's a long story. The story was started as a short story of possibly 15 to 18 years ago when I fancied having a go at writing some stories. It wasn't a diary. It was just a fictional story. And as the years went on, the story was left and then it was brought out and then it changed into a longer story and then it evolved into a diary. So it wasn't something that I suddenly had a flash in the pan thought that I must write a book about bullying. It just evolved along those lines. And the Daisy Chain is the sequel to that story. So if I then let a bit of cat of the bag out of the story is that Amanda goes on to St. Cecilia's Academy, Music Academy, which is a 5-hour flight away. She's 13. She, by this stage, her relationship with her parents is much improved. She goes on to the college as a boarder, obviously. Is very concerned about making friends because her past history has not been very good in that direction. She does luckily make a friend, but she is determined that in this book that she is going to form a daisy chain anti-bullying support group for anybody who is suffering from bullying. And this is the main theme through this particular story, which she does. And in the second book is the list of things that she thinks are important. But also, we learn about Cassandra the bully via a third party, being her mother, as to what has caused Amanda to be such a bully. And we see the Cassandra, the background that has led her to be a bully, and how she actually goes down a very slippery slope in this book. We follow that through, but there's also other sideline stories, as in there's a girl who suffers from stuttering, I think you might call it stammering, and then there's also other threads through the book going on. You can imagine going to a college of where there are lots and lots of teens from, say, 13 to 17 or 18, of different stories that all interlink. And then we come to the book that I have just completed, which has not yet been printed, which is called Tilly's Story. Now, in the daisy chain, there is a girl called Tilly who unfortunately has to leave the college because she is pregnant. And Amanda, being 13 by this stage, you know, she hears these rumors about this girl meeting this boy in the village. Doesn't really know much about it. But this is developed into this Tilly story. So the third book, which is a book in its own right, it's fiction, it's a story, it's not a diary. And so Tilly is 17. She loses her mother to cancer. It's been a 5-year battle, and it has devastated the family. And she is goes home to say goodbye to her mother, and the family virtually disintegrates. They each have their agenda. There's the father, there's a much younger brother, and there is a family friend who has promised her mother that she will look after Dan, the brother, and Tilly. But things work out not as easy as in the book, you know, this promise. And so Tilly returns to the college absolutely distraught and devastated, and finds that nobody understands what she's going through. None of the other girls in the boarding house have lost a relative. They don't want to talk to her about her mother in case it upsets her. And so we go through quite a process of the grieving process. And one day, feeling extremely despondent, she goes down to the village, sits in the cafe, and who should join her but a very, very handsome young man called Jacques, who befriends her, and who she thinks is the first boyfriend or the first boy that's ever taken any notice of her, and she is absolutely besotted with him. And it doesn't take long to find out, because I sort of hinted at what happened in the first place. And to cut a long story short, she ends up having to leave the college because it's not somewhere. I might add that this girl is brilliant flautist. She has a place at the Royal School of Music in London. And we see her going down this slippery slope to how would I describe it? It's she's led along an unknown path which stretches her to breaking point. There are lots of other characters come in. Jacques' mother. There is the Steffi, who is the mother, the friend of the family, who has promised to support Tilly. There's the story of the brother who's at home, and there's a dog story involved in that, which incidentally was one of the other short stories that I wrote when I first started Dear H. And so I combined that short story into this story, and there's lots and lots of things going off into this story. Again, I don't really want to tell you any more about that because
sure.
It's spoiling for the reader.
Oh, okay, that's great. I want people to know that they can buy the book, The Daisy Chain and Dear H.
Uh-huh.
They're both on Amazon right now. And Diane, how long have you been an advocate for bullying? And I'm trying to understand bullying because I don't know how we can stop it, because I'm thinking it's a natural thing, kids pick on kids and blah, blah, blah. But let's go with the advocate for bullying. What got you involved in to being an advocate for bullying?
Well, I did a lot of school visits. And my main thing about this is that I take the books into school and I have a lot of questions which are based on the books, because although the books can be just read as a book, they're also great as a discussion tool. So you can read the book and just enjoy it, or you can use it as a, you know, like as a, in school, as a teacher or as a parent or a grandparent. So I have a whole lot of questions that bring about young people to talk about things that they often are loath to talk with their parents.
Right.
So
right.
I approach it like that. But we have in Australia a kids helpline. I'm sure you have something similar. And
yes.
I encourage the kids I ask them who they would talk to if they have a weight on their shoulders that is too heavy for them to bear. And I ask them who they would talk to, and I get all sorts of answers. Some people will say, I talk to the dog or the cat, you know, and I will say, yes, well, when I've had problems, I used to talk to my dog. But the dog isn't able to help you as much as you need the help. I encourage them to find somebody to talk to. And this is where this advocate for bullying comes in, that a lot of young people seem loath to open up to parents or to other people. And also I explain to them that if they do talk to a friend, it must be a friend that is able to take it further, to pass that information on to somebody who can really help them. So I advocate that they do phone the kids helpline, or if they don't need to go as far as that, that they actually do open up and speak to people and they don't keep it within themselves.
I see. Well, great. Do you have any training in mental health? 'Cause I know you speak. You do go on, first I have two questions, but let's go with mental health. So do you have any background as far as training in mental health, Diane?
I have qualifications as a professional counselor.
And
great. Also as a teacher for many, many years, I have taught right from bigger ones right up to 18-year-olds. And I also ran my own tutoring business as well, where I had a lot of students who would confide in me about things that they hadn't told their parents. And that was one of the reasons why I did the professional counseling course, so that I would be able to respond in the right way.
That is fantastic. And you do speaking arrangements, don't you, Diane? And you talk about... like a motivational speaker and help build up self-esteem. Tell me about how is that going so far?
Well, most of them have been in school, but I have done some for adults as well, because obviously, the books are of a great use to parents and to grandparents, because a lot of grandparents now have taken over some of that parental role because parents are so busy working. And so it's not just books that will appeal to young people. They are of great use to adults of all ages. When I wrote the first book, I assumed that the book would only appeal to girls. But in going into schools and being said, you know, sort of indicated that I had to speak to boys as well, that I introduced it by saying, look, you know, boys have problems with bullying, depression, self-esteem, et cetera, just as much as girls do. So the first book was accepted well by boys and girls. The second book, because of the topic, is really more for girls. And the third book is definitely for females. We've said, I've had one helper who's 15 who has read the book. And, you know, we really think that it's for 15-year-olds and upwards, as far as, you know, a lot of adults, possibly young women, could also be interested in that one as well.
Diane, who suffers the most from low self-esteem? Would it be little boys or little girls?
I think nowadays it's both. I think that there's, when you read the news and you follow things through and you read about bullying, it's amazing how many boys are into self-harm as well as girls. You only have to pick up a newspaper or read online or look at statistics. I mean, when I go into to talk to students, I don't bring up the suicide words, but it has been brought up, and I try to I don't gloss over it by any means, but it's not really what I've gone in to talk about. I've gone in to talk about getting help. So, you know, I take everything that anybody would say to me seriously. But I don't want to go in and sort of make a big issue of that, although they are aware that is, you know, is something that does unfortunately happen. So I think nowadays, boys and girls, there is a lot more. I mean, when I was, say, 10 or 11, and I looked at the boys that I was at school with, I mean, none of them were really interested in hairstyles. They had short backs and sides. Whereas now you see boys coming in with their hair blow dried and all the latest fashions. They are far more into body image than they used to be. And so therefore, you know, the self-esteem and what they look like and whether they've got a weight problem or, you know, is just as important, I think, to boys and teen boys as well as it is to girls.
Right, right. Is there a common problem that you find with girls who are growing from 10 to 12? Is it always about weight, or is there other problems that's usually a common thread that links all of them to have problems with their body image or mental image?
I think it's a combination. You know, some girls will have a body image problem. Some of them may have two or three different things going off. Because if you have got a body image problem, you're going to get depressed. So therefore, and then you're possibly going to go and, like Amanda, and raid the pantry because, you know, you want to feel that feeling of being, it's a good feeling, but it's only for a little while. Because in Dear H, she raids the pantry and then she says, I know I will feel bad after it. And then she said, I wish I hadn't done it. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but she can't help herself. And so, you know, we have all of these. I think I've got a little passage here about when she sees the girl in the wheelchair, which if we've got time, I could just read that out to you, if that's all right.
Sure, I do. I do.
Yeah. It says, she is at the concert where she sees the, she's feeling, she says, She before that, she says, things have been whirling around in her mind so much. I've been tossing and turning all night and have hardly slept a wink, and I feel absolutely drained. Then she says, if the girl in the wheelchair can go on the stage and sing, why can't I? She's got heaps more problems than I have. One minute, I think it could actually happen. That's the me inside talking. Then the next minute, the Amanda that everyone makes fun of in and tells me to stop being such an idiot. I know I'm fat and I have to lose weight. I feel so alone and unsure of myself. I wish I had lots of friends to support me. I would be the laughing stock of the school if anyone knew what was going off in my head. I feel that there is this little me inside of this big body. The fatter I've become, the more of the real Amanda has disappeared. So it gives a good idea of what's going off into her head.
Wow.
But right at the very end, she writes a song, the lyrics for a song, when things are going a lot better. So she's called it Fabulous Superstar. She says, I'm forever reaching for a shooting star. Music in my soul, music in my heart. Cascading rhythms are tearing me apart. Fabulous superstar, name up in lights. Couldn't happen to me. Excuses are mine. It's the wrong place. It's the wrong time. I am the sun, the star, ready to shine. I must stretch, reach out, aim high as the sky. Better to fail than never to try. I have traveled this far, no more regrets. Lived for this moment, nobody to blame. Sense the fear and taste the fame. So the books are very inspiring, they're motivating, and they're basically, saying, well, give things a go. Even if things aren't right at this moment, give them a go. And the book that I've just finished, which will be out, it's really if the message is if something happens and your life spirals out of control, there are ways to regain the control. It may take longer to reach your goals, but it isn't the end of the world. So there is a message in each one.
Well, we're talking to Diane Guntrip, and the two books that we're talking about is called The Daisy Chain and Dear H. They're both on sale now on Amazon. Very inspiring. Written through the eyes of a 12-year-old Amanda. I don't have any children, Diane, but I'm thinking the average adult may not see the signs of a kid going into depression. I usually don't think children 10 years old to 13 go into depression. Is this more common than we know, and you think parents spot this problem?
I think you'd be surprised if you worked with young people. I've taught for many, many years, and I've had children admit to me that they've had thoughts of I had one particular person who said he thought of ending his life, and I said, well, what would you do? And he said, I would go into the kitchen and I would get a knife out. This is the truth. This is a few years ago, and this child would have been at primary school. So he would have been 10, 11, of which he was quickly taken to a psychologist. And got the support that he needed. But I don't think that we, children, when I say to them, you know, do you talk to your parents about things that really bother you? And they will say, they will shake their heads. A lot of them will say, no, I can't. I don't know why. I can't. Not all of them, but they will say that they can't. And I will say, but, you know, who have you got to talk to if you're not going to talk to your parents? And sometimes when I'm there and the staff will be there, they say things there that I'm hoping that will be taken up, because I'm only probably there for an hour or so. It will be taken up by other people. But I think that we're not always aware. And nowadays, they spend so much time online and in their bedrooms. and you don't know what is happening when they're online, who is engaging with them. And also what concerns me a lot is that talking to friends online or texting is not the same as sitting face to face with a person because you don't pick up all the body language. And this is a huge thing worldwide that I am very, very concerned about. That, you know, there should, I would hope, and you see it happening all around you where parents are so involved in social media. You see it when you're sitting on a train. You see it when you're traveling. You see it in a cafe where a lot of the time the parents are not engaging with their children. And you really need a time when you can sit with them and chat. It may be taking the dog for a walk. It may be sitting in the car when that child is in the back seat or when they're older sitting next to you. When you're not face to face and they feel that they can perhaps open up to you with when you're perhaps not looking at them, if you understand what I mean. And so in the third book, we have Steffi who meets Dan and they take Dizzy the dog for a walk. And she says that that's a time when you can, you know, open up, when you're not possibly saying, oh, we're going to have a chat about this, that and the other. But it just comes out in conversation. And I don't think parents are often, when things happen, I mean, we've seen things on the news over here where perhaps a child older than 10 has perhaps taken their own life and the parent has not had a clue. They've not said anything. They've not been aware that that was an intention. I think that we need to be on this all the time. To, you know, if a child stopped, I was doing a talk with some high school students at the end of last year. And one of the boys said to me, when we were at primary school, we noticed that one of the boys that we had been very friendly with seemed to, his personality seemed to change. He didn't join in as much. He didn't talk to us as much. And I will give that boy credit. Him and some of his friends went round to the boy's parents and they said that they had noticed that he wasn't quite himself. And I congratulated him for doing that because sometimes things will alter. They're not talking as much. They're perhaps not eating as much, or there's a change in them, and that has to be noted and to be picked up on. And I think, I say, nowadays there are so many pressures on young people that I certainly didn't have when I was that age. I think that these things need to be looked at seriously. And if a child says something, you must always take them seriously and follow up on this. Don't take it as, oh, it's just something she's saying or he's saying. You really, really need to follow it through.
Well, we have a problem here in the States with teen suicide. Are you having that problem in Australia? Are you having that problem in Australia?
Yeah, it does occur, yes.
Mm.
And it is the most terrible thing. I mean, obviously the young person loses their life, but it's a terrible thing for the parents and those close to that person. And and it's not just teens either, but it's very difficult being, as you say, on the ball all the time, but you know, these things. I think also I encourage these youngsters to write diaries, to put everything down. I'll tell you one thing. I went to one school about 2 years ago, and one of the girls said to me, I write a diary every day. And I said, well, that's great. And she said, but I give each day after school a star rating out of 5. And then she said, I pass that diary on to my mum. And she said, she reads it. We don't talk about what's in the diary. She reads it, and then she writes back. She responds in the diary. And And then I read what she has written. And I said, well, I thought that was a tremendous way of dealing with problems that perhaps the girl didn't feel she could talk about. But the mother was aware if there was anything that she needed to step in and say, hey, I think we need to talk about what you wrote today or whatever. I thought that was a really, really good idea. And so often, and another thing is that often people feel that they can speak to strangers easier than they can speak to somebody that they know. As long as something is going to be, you know, if somebody needs help in that. I mean, some problems don't always need to go into, to, you know, seeing some professional person. It can be sorted out. But if it does need to be sorted out, then they are shown the right direction and the right person to speak with that can help. And often, if there is a mental health problem, it can show up as, you know, young as 14. And those things need to be followed through on before they accelerate into something more serious.
Brian, Dr. Fantuzzo, a question for our guest.
The great doctor, he's here. Let me ask you another question. Did I want to go to Dr. Fantuzzo? He's also a great friend of the show. Suicide for young children, young adults, he cares very deeply about. He's an advocate for that too. I do just want to say one thing before we go to Dr. We call him Dr. Fantastic. We're talking with Diane Guntrip. The name of the book, she has two books. One's called The Daisy Chain. The other called Dear H. They're both on sale now on Amazon. And do you mind talking to Dr. Fantuzzo? You two have something in common. He may have a question for you, Diane.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I just hope I can answer his question.
You're doing just fine. I just want to ask you one question before Dr. Fantuzzo, because he's so great. I do want to ask you one question. When you find a kid, a young adult, who are having problems and you finally get them into counseling, I know it's not easy, but you finally talk them into counseling, does a counselor encourage the parents to be there? I know they would probably separate them and then the parents will come in and try to understand the problem. Do you find that the parents have a lot of shame? I mean, is this still a shameful thing that, you know, that they don't want to admit that their kid may have a problem? Is that a problem with some of the parents?
Difficult for me to answer that because I'm not normally the one that would put. I mean,
right.
I go in. The book is used as a discussion tool, and so I'm not really the one that would be advocating because I go in and it's left to somebody else to do. I'm sort of like the journey to help. I mean, these books were written just as books. And it wasn't until the Dear H is the first one, and it wasn't until I'd written the book that it was pointed out to me that how good it would be as a discussion tool, because I just thought I'd written a book, but obviously there was a lot more psychological type things in it than I actually realized at the time.
Sure. Well, Dr. Fantastic would like to talk to you. His real name is Dr. Fantuzzo, but you'll realize why we call him Dr. Fantastic as soon as he talks. Good morning, Dr. Fantastic.
Good morning, Brian. You're always too kind to me. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm glad to see you. We have an author here. Her name is Diane. Well, you listened to a little bit. Diane Guntrip, she wrote a great book. It's a diary, kind of fictional book, told through the eyes of a 12-year-old. But we're talking about problems that young people have in Australia, and we're talking about suicide, and I figured that you might want to ask her some questions, or she can ask you some questions, and you got the floor, good doctor.
Well, thank you so much for giving me that opportunity. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. It's nearly 11 o'clock at night here. So.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, I'll try to be quick as much as I can. I'm on a international committee. For the purpose of preventing or suicide intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And once a month, we are on a conference call with many people around the world, actually. China, North Korea, South Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Europe, and of course the United States. Our purpose is to get involved as much as we can to make people aware of the symptoms associated with teenage and adult and military suicides.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the process of completing a website where people can contact us for assistance, and we can, you know, our whole mission through our collective energy and background and experience is to try and save a life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we have found so far, and please interject your questions as I talk, interrupt me, please.
Yeah.
But what we have found so far, in many parts of the world, the major cause of teenage suicide is heroin or something as strong or stronger. What happens, they become addicted, and everyone's body is different, as we all know. So we don't know if it's the addiction is 3 months, 6 months, a year, or whatever. But what happens, once they continue to take it, it actually eats away the brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It eats away the brain. You may know this. So in that regard, they lose their focus, they lose their sense of balance, they lose common sense. And what they need is love and coaching and counseling and hugging, and they're not getting it. And they commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And the second reason we're finding so far, and the sample is pretty extensive. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's very extensive, where two parents, some are married, some are not, as we know in today's societal world, there's abuse, hitting, swearing, physical abuse, and these children are standing by watching this, and they just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So after a period of time, and we don't have profiles yet on what period of time that might be in terms of young children, girls and boys and so on, but they commit suicide. And the third reason we're finding, and this may change as we go forward, is bullying and regarding social media. But, you know, if this is a topic that you would be interested in, I would be very happy to invite you to the group. I can give you the contact information in which to do that. But what are you finding in your country? What are some of the symptoms and reasons as to why these young children are committing suicide?
I'm not an expert on that side of things, but I can see when you're talking about bullying and children model their parents' behavior. And so you can get children as young as 4 and 5 who are exhibiting bullying behavior, whether it's, you know, what they're seeing at home, or if they are, I mean, when I ask the children at school, what makes a person become a bully? And they are very knowledgeable about it. They will give me loads and loads of answers. And one of them is if they are themselves being bullied at home. And so therefore, if you have this bullying behavior exhibited, they are going to think that that is the way you deal with problems. We also have, I mean, obviously it's older students that my book is for 10 years and upwards. But with the drug situation, I think it's is pretty similar, that people are, you know, they become different people, don't they? You know, if they're on drugs, you see it out on the street, and where people are become, you know, have mental illnesses and schizophrenia and various things, possibly as a result of taking of drugs. So I think there's, you know, I think it's just a worldwide problem.
It is. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, is the educational systems within your country, are they trying to get involved with regard to educating themselves so they can become more aware measurably of what the symptoms are so they can try and save a life or call a counselor or someone?
Schools do have counselors, and some of them have a chaplain, not particularly related to a particular church or anything, but, you know, as a sort of pastoral side of things. They do have a psychologist, but I would say that they are so in demand that a lot of people are not able to access them. And this is the problem. So I don't know. I think teachers are, there are so many things that we hear on the news. Oh, you know, there's traffic accidents, there's this. And, oh, the teacher should be dealing with this and they should be dealing with that. I think they have enough on their plate with just teaching without having to deal with all these other things. And that some of the things should be possibly picked up at home, but whether they're going to be or not is a different question. And that's a very quick answer.
No, I understand. I have experienced here in many parts of the United States as I contact people to try and help them, as mm-hmm. well as within the 2-year, 4-year graduate level studies in grammar school, as we call it here in high school,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
many teachers, you're right, they have a lot to do,
mm.
and many of them belong to a union, and
yeah.
of course, in within the union contract, there isn't any article associated with helping people with these symptoms and calling in our country 9/11 and so on. So what they exercise mm-hmm. overall is what I call avoidance behavior. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's
mm-hmm.
truly sad. So, you know, we keep trying to promote the importance of trying to save a life, becoming aware, educated regarding the symptoms so they can just call 9/11 or call a counselor in an effort to save a young person's life. You know,
yeah.
Veterans Administration, that's a whole
yeah.
different subject
yeah.
because these veterans are coming back from being deployed from Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, many are coming back without arms, without legs, they can't see,
yeah.
and they commit suicide. They just don't want that kind of life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that, too, is a tragedy. But with regard to the school systems, you know, we are going to have a website that's going to go worldwide as much as we can and go on Twitter and so on and Instagram and so on in our effort collectively to help people. And, you know, that's our mission. And I've undertaken a lot of this myself where I volunteer my time and services to churches and schools or organizations like Rotary or wherever,
mm-hmm.
Anyone who would give me the courtesy to invite me in. So, yeah, it's a serious problem, and it's sad. It's really sad. These children, they need so much counseling, coaching, and love. They don't
mm-hmm.
realize that they are the author of their life. They are truly the author of their life. And, you know, they need to try and practice adding value to themselves in many ways through their parents, through teachers, through friends and counselors and so on. And they're just not getting it. They're not getting it. It's sad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a tough problem. It's a very difficult problem to gain, to make any progress in. But we're going to keep going. We're going to keep trying. I've been part of this committee now for a year and a half, and it's taken time. We talk to people, as I said, from different parts of the world, and it's very trendable. The reasons are essentially the same. So, yeah, anyway.
Well, if you could, I would be very interested in your website, if you could pass on the information.
Okay, I'd be happy to. My email, if you want to take this down, if you write to me, then I'll have your email. But it's CTS7349@msn.com. So C like Charlie, T like Tom, S like Sam, 7349@msn.com. Yeah, if you send me a note, I'd be happy to share information with you. And again, you know, you don't have to be an expert in this field. If you want to be part of the group, I'd be happy to invite you so you could listen in too.
Yeah, well, I feel that these books are, as I said, were written basically as fiction in the first place, but there is so much in them that can help. And I feel that it's not easy as a self-published publisher to get the books out to the people that really need them.
Oh, I know. I know.
You know what I'm talking about. And so therefore,
sure.
You know, if you've got a big publishing name behind you, it makes a lot of difference. And so I think a lot of it is getting young people to talk and to express themselves and to ask for that help if they need that help. I think in schools as well, you have a problem where, you know, over here, we're not supposed to hug children, touch children, do any of those things. And also you have, obviously, parents have got their own rights. And so teachers sometimes find themselves in a little bit of a difficult position.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think they exercise avoidance behavior because they're not educated on this topic, or it could be a blockage regarding the union contract, or it could be a blockage because they have so much to do. I don't know, but there's nothing. I mean, it's so important to try and save a life. I mean, it doesn't get any more important than that. And so I don't know how to. We're trying to find ways to get their receptiveness to be more receptive to the information, and so they can make a difference in someone's life. Even if all they have to do is call 911, you know, and say, "Gee, we got a problem. Come check it out. Talk to this person." So yeah, it's a very difficult problem to try and penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
So are the percentages high in your country with young people and committing suicide? Do you know?
I couldn't give you any figures on that, no, but it does crop up every so often. Yeah.
Sure.
I think the ones that you hear about, I've not got access to figures, but I mean, you hear it on the news and you hear it, you know, on the television, and you hear the stories as to what's happening. And then, of course, some of these things are kept quiet as well. So I wouldn't have access to those figures. It's only when it hits the headlines, or you know of somebody, or you hear of somebody that you really find out. But no, I couldn't share that with you.
Sure. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, real pleasure.
And I'll look forward. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll have to ask Ellen how to spell your name.
Dr. Fantastic. His name is Dr. Fantastic, but he goes by Dr. Bob Tuzo. We'll give you his information, and we had a great chat on breaking out with negativity with the doctor. So he is fantastic. Doctor, do you have are you on Twitter or any other social media? Because maybe she could friend you in that kind of way.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook for sure, Brian, and I'm in the process now of expanding my website to include my books, my leadership books, on Twitter and Google and Apple, iTunes, so on and so forth. So yeah, I'm in the process of expanding it. You know, the mission doesn't stop, actually. I don't have a publicist yet, but I do all the work myself. But yeah, she can contact me on Facebook. That would be great, sure.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
There you go, Diane.
Being very, very cheeky, if you could, if you ever read my books, just to let me know what you think.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. Send me the title. Is it being carried by Barnes & Noble or Ingram?
Yes, it is. I checked out. It's on Barnes & Noble. I think it's, it's D-E-A-R, capital H.
Okay.
And the days of training.
Send me that information, Diane, and I'd be happy to purchase one and be very happy to do that. But, you know, I just feel in my heart that if more people were kinder to people and try to have them become more aware of happiness and do the best we can, give the world the best we have, even though it may never be enough, you have to keep trying. You just have to keep trying because in our society, it's problematic. It's just problematic. If we take time to analyze what's taking place in the world, and you know, and a lot of it requires accessibility and knowledge to make a difference, to make the world a better place. And it's all about, I think, acquiring purposeful information. And negativity is a tendency that is very downbeat and skeptical, and there are so many negaholics in the world, and that's a problem by itself. But being a leader at every level, having an objective and positive approach as a family member or whatever religion one practices or whatever profession they're in or blue collar, doesn't matter. If they have that attitude to make the world a better place, it will be. Need to become a positive thinker, and to change the way we think. Because if you, as I've often told audiences or people I meet, if you change the quality of your thinking to improve it, you'll change the quality of your life. I mean, it's very important to think about those things. And so I just, you know, I try to take it one step at a time. You know, nothing will work better unless we try harder to inspire people to achieve more, to help others as a human being. I mean, we are truly living, at least in my view, a hope-starved world. Without hope, there people give up, and that's part of the suicide problem. I mean, the human journey is short. We sooner realize that we are here, and then it's time to leave already. Good grief! So anyway, I'm proffering too much, Brian. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're doing great, Doctor, and I want to thank you so much for coming in. And Ellen's going to make sure that she gives each one of you each other's information so you can reach out to each other.
Oh, great. Okay.
I have a feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you guys are, I have a feeling that you guys have so much information to pass on to others, and I think she's going to enjoy your group. Thank you again, Doctor, for coming in. It's Dr. Is it Fantuzzo? Am I mispronouncing your last name, Doctor? Is it
A little bit. It's Fantuzzo. The A is silent. But, yeah, you're very close. That's okay.
Okay, Dr. Fantuzzo. And he's a great guy. He's like I said, we had a great chat, and we, you know, talked about negativity and things, and he's, you know, to break up with negativity, he's a great guy. And, Doctor, thank you, and I hope you have a great weekend, and I'm always honored when you come into the show. There's a person I'd like you to say hello to. Just 1 second. It's unusual. I know, Diane, stay with me, but this person I need you to say hello to. Just a second. Ta-ta-ta?
Oh, hi.
Ta-ta-ta. Hi. Would you like to ask Dr. Fantuzzo a question regarding suicide? When you said you had suicide tendencies, would you like to, you want me to get the information? You can talk to the doctor?
No, I solved it. Thanks.
You solved it? Okay.
Like,
thank you,
your
ta-ta-ta.
Thing, you helped, and I also solved it later too completely.
What did you solve, sweetheart?
Oh, I came across something that helped.
Oh, good. Good. Are you on your medication? You're on your medication, right?
I just had my 3-month injection.
Oh, that's right. You keep saying it. Okay, hang in there, ta-ta-ta. Thank you. I'm glad you solved your problem. Stay there. All right, doctor. Thank you so much for your time. And
me too, Brian. It's always truly an honor and a pleasure to talk to you. You take care of yourself and give Alan a hug for me, and I hope you have a great weekend. Take care of yourself, Brian.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
All right.
This
take
is
care.
A great doctor, bye-bye. Dr. Fantuzzo, everybody. Thank you so much for coming in. And we're talking to Diane and her book again. We're going to finish the interview up. And Diane, thank you for being so patient. Thank you for talking to the doctor and talking to our guest. This is Diane Guntrip, the name of her book. She has 2 books. One is called Dear H, D-E-A-R-H. The other, The Daisy Chain. This book is told through the eyes of a 12-year-old. Bullying, body shaming is an uplifting book. I think a lot of parents should really read this book. And she goes on work. She does workshops. She goes on motivational tours. She's uplifting, inspirational. We need more people like her. And I did not realize that kids can go into a depression at an early age, and we don't think, but they do. There's a lot of information that parents should be more aware of what's going on with their children. Diane, I want to thank you so much. Just the information, I love what you did with the doctor, because here's what we do on the show. Sometimes if people don't know the author, we find out a little bit about them before they buy the book, and what we found out about you, it's great. You know, it's really great, and you gave us a lot of information. Now, I'm going to pick up, if somebody picks up your book, they're going to say, Dear H, I'm picking up Dear H, and again, it's a fictional book, diary. Diary, I'm thinking, it's a diaries kind of series, fictional series. What can they expect? What can they expect when somebody picks up your book?
That's a difficult question for the author. I think they can have a very good idea of how a 12-year-old is, what is going off in the mind of a 12-year-old. I have been told that I have, in the reviews that I have, and there are a lot of them, but they're not on Amazon, I might add, because most of them were given to me by people in that had read the book where I had sold it face to face. But a lot of them said that I really had captured the personality of a 12-year-old. And some people actually asked me how on earth I'd managed it. But it's a long time since I was 12. But I think you can really get into the mind of a 12-year-old and what is important.
Right. Wow. If you got in my mind at a 12-year-old, you would just start drinking. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things going on in that mind. Well, Diane, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and you can promote yourself, promote the book, where to get it, anything that we did not speak of. You can mention it here, how they get to you. And you've been a darling. You've been a great interview. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds. There you go, Diane.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for the fabulous interview and the fact that I've been able to share so much with you. I do have a website, www.dianetrip.com. If anybody wants to contact me, there is a contact page there, and I also have a Facebook page if anybody wants to follow and see what I'm doing. So my first book is Dear H for 10-year-olds and upwards, and The Days of Pain is for 13-year-old girls and upwards. And of course, there's a new book which will be coming out very soon called Tilly's Story for 15-year-olds and upwards. Thank you very much.
Well, you're so welcome. Today's show, Diane, we have a great sponsor. Our show is sponsored by Purple Diamond Publishing. And she's a remarkable person, a great business person, also a fellow author. Her name is Charisse Kateri Cox. And what she did was she stepped up. A lot of people wrote books and they're trying to promote. They're learning how to promote. She is like a media consultant. She's a I always get this confused, but once a person does a book, they usually will talk to her to get it on the best, you know, to get them going to the right directions to sell more books, and sometimes they make a mistake. Is this your first book that you're writing, Diane, or you have written other books before?
No, DH is the first one, yeah.
What I'd like to do is I'm going to have Ellen give you her phone number just in case you would like to talk to her. She is really... She has an expertise in working with authors and putting them on the right track to not only selling more books, but to make you aware of some of the things, the pitfalls that when first people start their books, that they keep them out of trouble. I'm going to have Ellen give you her number, and it's free. I mean, she's not going to charge you. It's just one of the gifts of the show for new authors. And I think you're fantastic, and there you go. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning where you are, and I know you need your rest, and I want to just thank you again for coming in. And this is Diane Guntrip, everybody. The name of the book is, again, Dear H, and the other book is called The Daisy Chain, now on sale on Amazon. And thank you so much for coming in, Diane. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, we did too. And you gave us so much information. I never thought that kids can get into a depression at an early age. I mean, I'm so much more aware, seriously, when I see a kid, you know, just kind of being a loaf and head down, and there might be something going on there that I don't know. We just got to we got to watch out for ourselves. All right. Have a great evening, and I hope you come back on the show. I love you.
Oh, that was wonderful.
We had a great time.
Wonderful. I'll come back when I finish the other book and tell you about that one.
I look forward to it. I really do. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Diane Guntrip. Look at the applause. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ah, there she goes. And thank you. We do have a double header today. Right after this show, we have this amazing chef. We call her Chef. That's how amazing she is. You only go by one word, Chef. But her full name is Chef Kateri Cox. And today, what are we going to be cooking? It's right after this show. So this show will hang up, but then call back in because we got a great cooking show. And then after the cooking show, we're going to discuss politics and box office and what's on your mind and anything else. So Chef Kateri Cox, she's going to give you a little preview of what she's going to be cooking up with the Hammer and the Ellen J. And 1 second before we go to Chef, I'm going to check in with Ta-Ta-Ta. Ta-Ta-Ta. Ta-Ta. Ta-Ta-Ta. How you doing, baby?
Very well, thank you.
Really? Oh, you sound a lot better. You sound a lot better. Did you have a tub experience?
With what?
with your boyfriend?
I was like, you know, yesterday I was like, you know, Brian speaks 100,000 times more than you. I was like, do you have any substance in your words?
Right. I'm nothing but substance. But it's not fair to compare him with the great Brian. We know that. I'm amazing. Yeah. Well, that fell flat. Thank you. Hang in there, Tata. You know we have another show after this, Tata. We're going to go cooking with the chef, Charisse. And do you like to cook? You like to cook?
Sometimes. It's cool.
Oh, you're going to be cooking after you hear the great chef. And here she is, everybody. Here's a preview of what's coming up. Chef Charisse Kateri Cox. We call her Chef Yummy. Chef, what do we got going on coming up in about 3 minutes?
We are doing seafood gumbo.
Yeah.
She did
There's
it.
More
she
to
did it.
It.
And she did it
yeah.
I did
me.
It only for Ellen today.
Oh, did you really? Did you really?
Yes.
I have
it's
never heard of Really? Is it Cajun, like seafood Cajun gumbo or something like that?
Yes, gumbo is Cajun. Yes, it is.
I didn't know gumbo is Cajun. Okay, well, it schooled me. Oh, that's going to be good. I'm going to love that. I never heard of gumbo seafood, but that's going to be good. Well, that's coming up in about 2 minutes. Don't miss that. She is so good on the show. I mean, the way she describes her ingredients, it makes your mouth want to go. It just drools all over the place. I have to have a little bib just because I have to talk to her. It's really good. Don't miss that. Z Bunny. Hey, girl. Welcome to the show, baby.
What's up, darling?
Well, you don't want to ask that question.
Okay,
I'll lose my sponsor.
Very carefully. I just want you to
yes.
know, I've been
yes.
sitting on here listening to this show since mm-hmm. about maybe, I think, 10:30-ish, somewhere
mm-hmm.
around there, or something to 11.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've been listening. I've been listening.
And what do you
think? I think that's really, really, really a good idea about the diary thing, because you're not having, most children are not going to talk to their parents because they think if they come out
that
and say exactly what's going on, that they're going to get their tail
right.
fan. I'm a 70s baby, so you know that was the thing.
Right.
If, yeah, they would, what? You did what? Instead of saying,
right.
okay, so, yeah, no, it's, don't get the bell. So
right.
I like that idea, especially because I have a child that's autistic. So
right.
sometimes he may not be able to verbalize it, but
mm-hmm.
if he writes it down, that'll be something completely
right.
different.
That is interesting. That is interesting. Yeah. I think if more kids just kind of do that, because you can find out what's going on in their head, that would be very interesting. If I was a kid writing things down, it would just be a straight line. There's nothing going on in there. I have nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Oh my goodness.
It's a flat line.
It's a flat line.
It's a flat line.
Yeah. What's going on,
so
Brian?
Hi, Chef.
Flat line.
Good morning, Chef. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let my family know that although I pop in and out for a reason, because I do miss y'all, but I do. Because you guys are, Brian, you are my entertainment for the whole entire week.
Really?
Seriously. Yes.
Really?
Because even though you're talking about some good stuff, you are just very entertaining.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
So,
and I'm not even trying to be funny.
No, you're
I'm just
being
just
yourself,
funny.
Which makes it even funnier.
Yes, I am. I'm being an idiot.
Brian, we have 41 seconds until the next show.
All right. Hey, you guys, come on back. I think we're going to be on again in about 40 seconds, and we're going to be cooking, and after we cook, we'll be talking about, it's Friday, we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. And I think Tata had a dream about me, and I think she's going to talk about that. Boy. Right, Tata? Yeah.
Okay.
Ellen. I don't know who Tata is.
Yeah.
But poor baby.
I know.
She got a bullseye on her back.
I know. We'll try to help her. All right, everybody. We're going to be on in 10 seconds. See you guys in 10 seconds. You have to call back. Love you guys. See you later.